Hello, Hey Herald listeners. It's me, Hannah, host of the Hey Herald podcast. Welcome back. Today, I'm really excited about the episode we have today. I really wanted to talk about some of the history we have here at the library. If you don't know, we have our first floor auditorium. We usually show movies there, and it's called the Alice Louise Reynolds Auditorium. And you're probably wondering, who the heck is Alice Louise Reynolds? Well, that's the whole point of this episode. I wanted to bring in Dr. Jones. I don't actually know how I found Professor Jones. Christopher Jones is his name. He's a history professor here at BYU. But I follow him on social media. I think a friend took his class and somehow I ended up following him. But he's really awesome. He posts really insightful, thoughtful things. And I thought he would be a good person to bring in for this episode and to talk about who Alice Louise Reynolds was and her contributions to BYU and to academia in general. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Sit back and relax and catch up on some history that you might not have known. So enjoy. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Today we have Professor Jones. He's a history professor here at BYU. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you want to just start off, let's just introduce you, where you're from, who you are, how you became a history professor, the whole spiel.
Sounds good. Professor Christopher Jones, I am a assistant professor in the history department where I've taught for the last 3 years. I attended BYU as a undergraduate, graduated in 2007, and then finished a master's degree here in history in 2009. Moved back east and finished a PhD at the College of William & Mary in 2016. Spent a year as a research fellow at the University of Pennsylvania, and then returned to BYU, where I've been ever since.
And what made you want to study history?
Oh, that's a good question. I fell in love with history as a missionary. Instead of sleeping and preparing for discussions, I would stay up late reading books.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to BYU, I changed my major from political science to history, and the rest is history. So
love it. That's awesome. Cool. Well, we've asked Professor Jones here today to talk about Alice Louise Reynolds. Here at the library, we have the auditorium on the first floor. It's named after her. And I feel like a lot of people know who she is. I mean, everyone knows Harold B. Lee.
Right.
I didn't want to do a podcast on him because he's the prophet. Everyone knows who he was, but not as many people know who she was. So we wanted to talk about her. So if you want to just start off with a short little introduction on who Alice was.
Sure. So Alice Louise Reynolds was born in 1873 in Salt Lake City. She would later become the first female professor here at what was then Brigham Young Academy, the first female to teach college-age students, later BYU. And she taught English literature and served as the chairperson of the committee for the library until her death in 1938. She also served in various capacities in the church as the editor of the Relief Society magazine. She wrote articles and essays for the Young Woman's Journal, the Instructor, various other publications.
Cool. She was a very well-educated lady,
yeah,
to say the least.
Very much so, yeah.
And she did, I think I read she got 3 different undergraduate degrees. Is that true?
Yeah, so education worked a little bit differently in the 19th and 20th century.
Okay.
But so she graduated from Brigham Young Academy, from the high school Brigham Young Academy, in 1890, I think, and was encouraged by the Academy's president, Benjamin Clough, to pursue advanced education. And so in 1892, she left and she studied at the University of Michigan for 2 years and then returned to BYA in 1894 and began the English Literature Department or program here at BYU.
Was it uncommon for women during her time to be professors?
Yes, although it was beginning to change. Reynolds was part of a larger group of women, both within and beyond the church, that were seeking higher education, that were entering the academy, although many opportunities were still closed off for them. But beginning in the 1870s, Brigham Young and subsequent church presidents began encouraging many women to what they called the go abroad, by which they did not mean go abroad, but leave Utah and pursue education at schools like the University of Michigan, Cal Berkeley, Harvard, Columbia, and various other schools. And so Reynolds was one of several Latter-day Saints, including Latter-day Saint women, who studied at the University of Michigan. although many of them that pursued higher education were going to get law degrees or medical degrees. Okay. And she was instead pursuing education in literature in English. So,
was there a specific reason that Brigham Young was encouraging these women to get more education?
Yeah, very much so. It ties into, I think, Brigham Young's understanding of what the Restoration meant when we talk about the restoration of the gospel. Today, we sometimes think of that as these were revelations given to Joseph Smith or subsequent church presidents. They were written down and recorded, and that was the Restoration, of the church, of various teachings, of different theological principles. And Brigham Young and Joseph Smith understood it a little bit differently. They understood the Restoration to be the gathering of lost or dispersed knowledge. And so in addition to revelation that was received, Brigham Young would always counsel missionaries to go and bring all of the truth that they could find throughout the world with them back to Zion, back to Utah. And in encouraging Latter-day Saints to pursue higher education, he was doing something very similar. Go and learn about law, go and learn about medicine, go and learn about science and literature, and bring all of that information and knowledge back to Zion, back to Utah, and share it with others so that we can come out, in Brigham Young's words, so that we can come out true saints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I really like that. So Alice Louise Reynolds was a suffragette. Right.
She was, yeah.
What do you think that like her education played into that, like her feeling the need to advocate for these women's rights? I don't know if that's it.
Yeah, I think that it absolutely did. What is most striking to me about Alice Louise Reynolds is that she was a lifelong learner. So she is the daughter of George Reynolds. Her father is probably more famous than she is. He served as a Latter-day Saint leader. Secretary to the First Presidency for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after Alice was born, he took a second wife in polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
And the First Presidency encouraged him, or he volunteered, to serve as a test case for the constitutionality of plural marriage. Mm-hmm. And so in 1874, he stands trial before a grand jury here in Utah Territory. And is found guilty of cohabitation. That is later, the church appeals that ruling, or Reynolds does, and it advances to the Utah Territorial Supreme Court, where he's convicted again. His conviction is upheld.
Interesting.
And that was the goal all along. He cooperated with the understanding he would get convicted at each stage with the goal of advancing this to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Huh.
And so Latter-day Saints argued that before the U.S. Supreme Court, when it finally advanced there in November of 1878, that polygamy was legal under the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, his initial conviction was upheld with the Supreme Court ruling that that was very much not the case, that the First Amendment did not protect cohabitation or plural marriage that violated the laws governing marriage in the United States. Which is all to say that after that Supreme Court case, he was convicted. He served 2 years in prison, meaning that for the first 7 or 8 years of her life, Alice Louise Reynolds had no father figure in her life. There was no man present active in her life. Her mother subsequently died when she was 12, and her father encouraged her to pursue education, and she was sent down here to Provo to Brigham Young Academy, where she enrolled as a teenager, and then graduated at the age of 17. So from a young age, Alice was surrounded by strong female presences in her life, and she was well-educated, especially for a woman in 19th century Utah. I don't think we can understand any aspect of her life without understanding the important role that both women and education served in her life.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't know that. What would it have looked like for her then as a suffragette in Utah? Because, I mean, you told me before, Utah women got the right to vote before the rest of the country, right?
Yeah,
so if they had the right to vote here, how would she have, I guess, moved the cause forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, women in Utah are granted suffrage in the territory in 1870. So we're coming up on next year's the sesquicentennial celebration of that. After statehood was granted Utah in 1896, and Utah becomes a state, that suffrage is stripped from women. So they don't regain that right again until 1920.
Okay.
When the 19th Amendment is passed to the U.S. Constitution. And so Latter-day Saint women were active in both the women's rights movement and the suffragist movement throughout the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Female leaders, relief society leaders like Eliza R. Snow, Emmeline B. Wells, and Alice Reynolds took an active role in this. They served on committees both in political parties and in national and local women's rights movements. Alice Reynolds attended the Pan American Conference as a delegate from the National League of Women's Voters, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that. I forget what year that was, but she was active both locally in pushing for Utah women's rights, but also more broadly throughout the United States and throughout the world pushing for women's rights,
mm-hmm.
For women to have a seat at the table, for women to have the right to vote, but also the right to pursue an education, the right to pursue professions.
Yeah. I have on my notes a little bit about the Alice Louise Reynolds Club.
Okay.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the Alice Louise Reynolds Club, I think, is evidence of, although many BYU students may not know who she is today, when they encounter her name in the auditorium that's named after her in the basement of the library, her legacy did resonate with previous generations of Latter-day Saint women. And in the 1970s, Alice Louise Reynolds Club was founded. This is about 30 or 40 years after her death in 1938. And it was founded by women that considered themselves to be heirs to her legacy. They were politically active and interested. They were pushing for further rights for women that were going on in the 1960s and 1970s. They were active in the push for the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. And so they drew inspiration from Alice Louise Reynolds as an earlier suffragette, as an earlier advocate for women's rights. And it's that club, the Alice Louise Reynolds Club, as well as the Friends of the Library, a group of donors that donated to the library, that ultimately in 1988 found the Alice Louise Reynolds Lecture Series.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Louise Reynolds Women in Scholarship Lecture Series.
Yes.
So every year since 1988, the library hosts a lecture in which an individual, sometimes an outside scholar, sometimes a professor here at BYU or somebody in the local community, comes and lectures on some topic broadly related to
mm-hmm.
Alice Louise Reynolds or women in history or women in scholarship more generally.
Yeah, and I love that it's still going on today, like her legacy is still continuing in these lecture series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she had such an impact on people.
Absolutely.
You as a professor, what would your club, if you got the Christopher Jones Club, what would your club be about? What would your legacy?
Wow, I have no idea.
What would you hope it would be?
If it was anything like Alice Louise Reynolds, that would be pretty awesome. I'm going to skirt that question. But let me tell you something that is kind of cool. So last year I attended the Alice Louise Reynolds lecture, and earlier this calendar year. The lecturer was Susan Rue, who is now a dean of undergraduate education here at BYU.
Okay.
But she's a professor of history here, and she was one of my mentors as an undergraduate and graduate student here 15 years ago. And Dr. Rue talked about Alice Louise Reynolds and about her travels. So what was striking to me when I was reviewing some of my notes about Alice Louise Reynolds' life, and I went back and I listened to Dr. Rue's lecture, I read a couple of books that talk about her and articles that have been written about her life. And what was striking to me was that after she pursues education at the University of Michigan, she receives an appointment as a faculty member here at BYU. That doesn't end her lifelong pursuit of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So Reynolds goes on to earn 3 additional degrees after the University of Michigan and spends time studying at Cornell and Columbia and the University of Chicago and Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
In addition, and this was the subject of Dr. Rue's lecture earlier this year, she also makes 4 European trips. And these are partly vacations. She's
right.
going and seeing sites, but they're very much tied to her lifelong pursuit of learning and furthering her knowledge. Her diaries and letters from those trips are held here in special collections at BYU. And Dr. Rue shared a lot of this information in her lecture. And showed a lot of really cool images, and she takes detailed notes. Everything a tour guide says, she's jotting down so that she can come back and share that with students in her capacity as a professor here. but she also makes extensive notes in her personal diary about things that she finds compelling or interesting. And so this charge that she's given earlier in her life to go and bring knowledge from abroad back to Utah is something that she keeps up until literally the very end of her life.
Mm-hmm.
She dies in 1938. Her last European trip is in 1937.
Wow.
And so up until the day that she, or the year before she passes away, she's traveling and learning
mm-hmm.
and seeking knowledge and then hoping to share that with others. Perhaps very relevant to the library here, Reynolds, I imagine the reason that the auditorium downstairs is named after her is because she chairs the committee for the library from
mm-hmm.
its inception.
For like 19 years or something
yeah,
like that,
that's
right?
Exactly. I think she serves on the committee for 30 plus years, 32 years, and she's chairperson of it for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So the initial library here at BYU was simply Carl Mazur's personal library that
mm-hmm.
he would let students come and check books out of.
Yeah.
That burned in a fire in the
right.
late 19th century. And so in 1906, Benjamin Clough, the president, I think it's Benjamin Clough at the time, forms a committee to establish a new library.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice Louise Reynolds is elected to that committee or appointed to that committee and then later serves as the chairperson of that committee for 19 years. And under her guidance, we see the construction of what is now the Heber J. Grant Building. It was formerly
mm-hmm.
the Heber J. Grant Library.
Right.
Now it's the testing center here on campus. Sees the construction ultimately of the Harold B. Lee Library here later, and sees the collection of books grow, if I have my figures right, from 12,000 to 50,000. And
crazy.
Then from 50,000 to 100,000.
Yeah.
And they have a very minimal budget, right?
Oh, yeah.
BYU today, the library has a budget. I just sent in a request last week. All I had to do was ask somebody in the library to buy a book
mm-hmm.
That I needed to read, right?
Right?
Or that I wanted my students to read. And they just purchased it within a week, and it
yeah.
was here electronically and in hard copy, and it was great. No
yeah.
problem, right? They did not have the budget for that in 1906 mm-hmm. or in the early 20th century. And so Alice Reynolds got creative. She donated 1,000 of her own books from her personal
wow.
library. And we have the record down in special collections in her papers of each book that she donated.
Wow.
In addition, she wrote to mission presidents stationed all over the world and said, please have your missionaries buy books in France, in Germany, in England, in Asia, and then bring them back with them
hmm.
and donate them to the
yeah.
library. So she got very creative, and what resulted was not only rapid growth, but also a real diverse collection of books
yeah.
here at BYU that forms the basis for the Lee Library's collections today, which rank among the very best anywhere in the country.
Right. That's so cool. I knew she had helped the collection grow to nearly 100,000 books, which is incredible, but
right.
to know that she, like, it was like a grassroots kind of effort. She was
very much
searching
so.
For those books herself and talking
very
to people
so.
And trying to get them to bring in them. That's really cool.
Yeah.
What a cool lady.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Do you have any other fun anecdotes about her?
I can't think of any anecdotes. I think one thing that struck me as I was reviewing her life was that I think Alice Reynolds embodies BYU's motto of enter to learn, go forth to serve,
mm-hmm.
about as well as anybody, right? She came as a student to BYU Academy before it was university. She took seriously not only her education, but the charge to educate others. And then she continued learning and serving for the rest of her life in growing the library and teaching students and continuing to travel the world and improve her own knowledge, her own understanding of things that she encountered, right? Of history, of literature, and of so much more. And in some ways, she's exceptional. Alice Louise Reynolds, born into a polygamous family, never marries herself.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to be married to her career in some ways, right?
Yeah.
She's very determined and driven in that sense. And that stands out even in the early 20th century against kind of what we think of as the ideal Latter-day Saint women, right?
Yeah.
Or ideal Latter-day Saint woman. And so I think she provides a model of what a Latter-day Saint woman can be, or an alternative model of
mm-hmm.
what a Latter-day Saint woman can be. Or of what a Latter-day Saint can be, somebody that builds the kingdom in ways beyond those that we sometimes immediately default to.
Yeah.
And so that's through the pursuit of knowledge and education, through teaching and sharing that knowledge with others, through service in various church organizations, through writing for church publications, through collecting and preserving and growing the library's collections that we all benefit from today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I really like that. I think sometimes we have this this cookie cutter mold of what
right.
what members of the church need to be. But she, I like how you said that, like she contributed to the kingdom in other ways, not just having a family, and she contributed knowledge, which is yeah. one of the greatest things that we can have in this life, right?
Yeah.
And I read this quote, actually, I thought of while you were talking. It says she never married, but that, like, her friends were the... She could love her friends more than she could love any husband or family. Like, it yeah. was just funny. She was just, like... She's a very loving person. She cared about what she was doing, yeah. and she gave everything that she had, I think.
Yeah, and you think about the people that she inspired with the creation of the Alice Louise Reynolds Clubs in the 1970s, with the creation of this lectureship series... My guess is that she serves as an inspiration, whether directly or indirectly, to every female professor here at BYU today.
Mm-hmm.
This has been in the news. I don't know if you saw the Daily Universe article last week that talked about the still very low percentage of female professors here at BYU
yeah.
and what's being done to try and grow those numbers, to try and improve female representation in the professional ranks here at BYU. But I think one thing that her life and her career demonstrates is that women have been part of BYU since its beginnings, right, as both students and professors.
Yeah.
And that's a legacy that I think we should build on, that we should attempt to continue to honor her legacy by recognizing the contributions of especially Latter-day Saint women and BYU professors, and attempting to shine a spotlight on them whenever possible, and recognize and appreciate and highlight their contributions.
For you in your personal life, what would be, I guess, just one thing you could take away to apply to yourself because of Alice Louise?
Yeah, I hope that I'm a lifelong learner like mm-hmm. she is. I love that she traveled. I love that she taught. I love that she collected books. These are all things that I'm mm-hmm. fond of myself.
Yeah.
But I love that she did it with the goal of always learning and then sharing that knowledge with others. And that's something I absolutely aspire to, something I absolutely want to emulate from her life.
Yeah, me too. I think... it's important just to always keep learning. I think sometimes, especially as college students, it's sometimes hard to see beyond school and like how that lifelong learning process is going mm-hmm. to be. But you can learn about anything. Just like search for anything that interests you and learn about it.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
just think she's a great example of that.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in today. Do
yeah,
you have any
you. This was fun.
Final parting words, life lessons?
Maybe just on that last note, one thing I tell my students with some regularity is that I encourage them to take advantage of every devotional forum, guest lecture that broadly interests them in any way while they're here at BYU, because never again in their lives will they have opportunities or time set aside just for such things, right? Like you said, it's tough to see beyond BYU sometimes when you're a student here. You're so focused on finishing that assignment or studying for that exam. And I know in my own experience as a student here, I missed a lot of those opportunities to attend, somebody hosted by the Kennedy School or the library or the history department or the biology department that had brilliant scholars from either here at BYU or visiting from beyond, visiting from other universities to come and speak and share their knowledge and their understanding. And I wish that I would have taken better advantage of those opportunities. And so I think one way that we can honor Alice Louise Reynolds is by taking advantage of those opportunities, by pursuing that knowledge, by seeking out those opportunities to grow and learn.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's true. And here in the library, we have lectures all the time, and they're amazing speakers.
They are.
I'm
they
always
really
so blown
are.
Away by them. So,
yep.
And we post about those, little shout out, little plug. We post about those on the library social media all the time. So
excellent.
Please come. Well, thanks again for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.